Honor the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we have been doing, our first class is on the Holy Eucharist. May I ask, just raise your hands, have you received the further questions and answers? Up to number 32, have you? Thank you. Now, just for the record, as I've said before, my plan is not to cover the whole of Mysterium Fidei with questions and answers in the few classes we have here in the gymnasium. Our next class, as you know, is the last Sunday of October 27th. Am I correct?
Yes.
My plan was and is to finish with God's grace the catechism and provide you people with a text which in effect is an explanatory commentary on Mysterium Fidei before we finish our classes in December. And the purpose is to make sure of this important document will be in print sometime early next year. As I may have mentioned, I want to emphasize here, the next International Eucharistic Congress will be held in May in Poland of next year. I've been asked by the Holy See, I've been told by the Holy See to do everything possible to promote not only that International Eucharistic Congress, but the deeper and clearer understanding of the real presence. That's the key. And both these classes and the catechism on Mysterium Fidei is my response to the Holy See's, I repeat, request. As I've been saying, and I want to repeat, the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the root of the most devastating crisis in the Catholic Church in her 2,000 years of existence. The root of that crisis is faith in the real presence. That's it. Because the Holy Eucharist, which Pope Paul VI calls Mysterium Fidei, the mystery of faith, synthesizes, summarizes all the mysteries of our faith. If you believe in the real presence, really, really believe in the real presence, you believe in everything which Christ revealed. If you don't believe in the real presence, you do not believe in anything which Christ revealed. You may give me lip service, but the faith is not there. What I'm going to do, therefore, is cover today as many of these questions and answers as I should say we have time for, because I do want to do justice to our second class, which is on the papacy. I might say this much. I may on some occasion have told you publicly. The present Holy Father has encouraged the organization of permanent deacons who are not publicly identified as members of the association. And they take three vows. The vow to promote faith in and devotion to the real presence. A vow to promote faith in and devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. And thirdly, a vow to promote faith in and devotion to the Vicar of Christ. I can assure you that two subjects of our course here, the Eucharist and the Papacy, underline the foundations of our Catholic faith. So let's turn to, I believe, question 18 that we got up to in our last class. What is the first error about the real presence which the Pope condemns? Answer. He condemns the error of transignification. Transignification is a heretical view of Christ's presence in the Eucharist, which claims that the meaning or significance of the bread and wine is changed by the words of consecration. But notice, the elements remain bread and wine. The consecrated elements are said to signify all that Christians associate with the Last Supper. They are of a higher value than merely food for the body. The theory of transignification was condemned by Pope Paul VI in the encyclical Mysterium Fidei. If it is understood as denying transubstantiation, how it pains me to say the rest. The German theologian Karl Rahner is commonly identified as the chief proponent of this erroneous teaching about the real presence. All we have that they call the Eucharist is bread. and one diocese after another, which I think I mentioned on some previous occasion, after two documents were issued by the American hierarchy, discouraging Eucharistic adoration, 40 dioceses forbade Eucharistic exposition and adoration without special permission from the local bishop. Churches without tabernacles. People, priests, how sadly well I know, bishops, no longer genuflecting before the Blessed Sacrament. And there's no option here. The words of consecration, either change bread and wine into the living Christ, or they don't. And you don't close, as I keep repeating, 62 parishes in Chicago, 42 in Detroit, 48 in Pittsburgh, and so the figures go on without a reason. This is the reason. Question 19. What is the second significant error about the real presence condemned by Pope Paul VI? It is the error of transfinalization. It is very similar to the false theory we've just described of transignification. But here it is claimed that Christ drop the apostrophe, that Christ is not really present in the Eucharist. Rather, the purpose or finality of the bread and wine, but they remain bread and wine. The purpose or finality of what remains bread and wine, that is changed by the words of consecration. They are said to serve a new function as sacred elements that arouse the faith of the people in the mystery of Christ's redeeming love. Along with Karl Rahner, the Dutch theologian Edward Schillebeck was the chief promoter of this erroneous theory. Both transignification and transfinalization have deeply penetrated into the theological literature used by priests and the laity in the Western world. No words of mine. Thank you for being here. How I would wish that 1,000 or 10,000 are here for class. And we're hearing what needs, dear Lord, how it needs to be said. Widespread abandonment of faith in the real bodily presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Widespread. That's what happened in the 16th century, and that's what is happening now in the 20th. How we better, dear Lord, how we had better understand what we as Catholics ought to believe and what so many who may still call themselves Catholics no longer believe. And there are two priests to whom I gave a 30-day retreat here at the grotto during the summer. As they asked me, Father, in the light of the widespread loss of faith of so many priests in the real presence, how can we be sure? Where can we be sure? When can we be sure? We are assisting at the sacrifice of the Mass and receiving the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. Believe me, this class is just not another series of lectures. It deals with a substance, and I don't hesitate saying, the condition for the survival of the Catholic Church in our country. And the concern about the survival, I can tell you, is expressed by Pope John Paul II. And this is the reason. How we need to both mentally understand our faith and with zeal, first of all, practice this faith ourselves, and then zealously promote the faith among others. One of my simplest definitions of a Catholic, a Roman Catholic, is one who believes in and is devoted to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Question 20. What are the consequences of these errors? And mind you, the Pope's encyclical was issued in 1965. This is 1996. Every concern he expressed 31 years ago is being fulfilled to the bloody letter in our day. Pope Paul VI sees great harm for the faith and devotion to the Divine Eucharist. He wrote his judgment I repeat, in 1965. Since then, the damage to the Eucharistic faith and devotion of millions of once-believing Catholics has been enormous. It can safely be said that this is the root cause of the widespread apostasy in one so-called developed country after another. Let me be a little more clear. At the Last Supper, Christ taught two profound mysteries. He taught the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, and he taught the humanly impossible commandment of loving one another as He, our God, became man and died on the cross out of love for us. Loving one another even to dying for the one we claim to love. Among the demands of this selfless love, none is more humanly impossible than the faithful love of husband and wife, one man, one woman, two in one flesh, until death. As the church has taught for 2,000 years, fidelity in marriage, the selfless love of a monogamous marital union prescribed by Christ, the church teaches that is impossible without the Holy Eucharist. That's why Christ made sure on the same Holy Thursday night when He gave His followers, I repeat, the humanly impossible commandment of loving one another even to dying for the one they love. At that same Last Supper, He instituted the sacrament which makes this humanly impossible, selfless love not just possible, but livable and enjoyable. I hope you hear this from some priest sometime in the future. There was a direct connection between the breakdown of faith in the real presence and the breakdown of so many marriages in once professed Christian and even Catholic couples. As one bishop told a friend of mine, the bishop went to Rome for his official alumni visit. Came back to the States. He told my friend, I have never in my life been so openly, so crudely, so violently denounced by the Pope as I was on my last Alimina visit. The Pope told me, in the name of God, would you please stabilize the marriages in your diocese? Your declarations of annulment are a scandal to the whole nation. How simple for me to twill these words, but how hard to live out Christ's teaching on selfless love, especially in marriage, without the Holy Eucharist. We continue. Why did Pope Paul VI publish Mysterium Fidei? Answer. He did so for two reasons, in his own words. He wanted to strengthen the Eucharistic piety, which is now pervading the whole church. Moreover, he wished to protect this Eucharistic devotion from being frustrated by the spread of false ideas about the Holy Eucharist. His concern to protect the church from the rising dissemination of errors was nothing less than prophetic. Paul VI published, as we all know, two historic documents, Humanae Vitae and Mysterium Fidei. And both documents, Humanae Vitae, condemning contraception, Mysterium Fidei, condemning the errors on the real presence. You go down into the 21st century as a plea for the sustaining of the true faith in our day. Question 22. Now, Eucharistic doctrine need to be investigated. Says the Pope, yes. He assures us how praiseworthy it is to investigate the lofty mystery of the Eucharist. In fact, we have a duty to penetrate ever more deeply into the meaning and implications of the revealed truths of our faith in the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. I say this, I put it in writing, and thanks for being here. It justifies the hours that obviously I spent in preparing these classes. Well, let me be more frank. the enemy is very active. And by the enemy I mean, of course, the evil spirit. And he is especially active among bishops and priests. Never forget what St. John the Evangelist says regarding the Last Supper. After Christ had told his apostles that one of you is about to betray me, then, says the evangelist, the devil entered the heart of Judas. And Judas left the Last Supper to go out and plan the betrayal of Jesus Christ.